Praise your holy name. O Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth with an outstretched arm. Is there anything too hard or too difficult for you? And so, Lord God, we bring our nation before you. God, we bring ourselves before you. We bring our church before you. God, hear from heaven and speak a word to us this day. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. As John says, the angels in heaven said, amen, amen. And today my sermon title is All the Believers. You know, the song says for all the saints. So my sermon title is for all the believers. I might have left the four out, but for all the believers, right? For all the believers. It's for all believers. And let me begin with this reflection. And it's titled, Absent from the Body, Present with the Lord. The funeral for Pastor Bob Russell's father was held on a cold, blustery day in Pennsylvania. The roads were too bad for cars to go to the cemetery after the service. So the funeral director told Bob he would take the body to the grave. Bob couldn't bear the thought. And so he, his brother, and their sons piled into a four-wheel drive SUV and followed the hearse to the cemetery. In his words, Russell says, we plowed through the 10 inches of snow into the cemetery, got about 50 yards from my dad's grave, when the wind blowing about 25 miles per hour, and the six of us lugged the casket down to the gravesite. We watched the body lowered into the grave, and we turned to leave. I felt something was undone, so I said, I'd like for us to have a prayer. The six of us huddled together and I prayed, Lord, this is such a cold, lonely place. And then I got too choked up to pray anymore. I kept battling to get my composure, and finally I just whispered, but I thank you. For we know to be absent from the body is to be safe in your warm arms. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be safe in the arms of God. Would bring a pastor and his brothers comfort at that cold gravesite. And that is our hope. The song that we heard this morning, for all the saints, for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For all the saints. That means for all of us who believe in Christ when we leave this place. That's our hope. He says in verse 3, O may thy soldiers, faithful, true and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That means we who are here, we must what? Continue to fight like those who have gone on, fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and continue to hold on to live, because our reward is in heaven. Amen. And then we read in John's revelation, we just heard it read. John was there and John got the vision. We're teaching Revelation now. And I said to my cohorts, my Bible study cohorts, we're up to 12 of us now. And I said to my Bible study cohorts, when we read Revelation, I says, I know that you all are believers, so we're not going to be worried, because from what John's vision says, it won't be pretty. It's not going to be pretty in the time of the tribulation or the great ordeal. But for those of us who's going to have the mark of Christ on us, oh, there'll be others who will have the mark of the enemy, of the devil. But for those of us who will have the mark of Christ on us, it is going to be all right. Amen. It is going to be better than all right. Because this is what the Lord promised. And as John is going to see this vision from God on the Isle of Patmos, and he's going to see many things that are terrible. But when we get to this verse 7, and it gets better in verse 21, he says, "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are those robed in white?'" Who are those robed in white? It's a metaphor, you know. Who are those robed in white? "And where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal," or we call it the great tribulation. "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have what? Washed our robes, we have washed ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. "For this reason, they are before the throne of God and they worship him day and night." And then he goes on, he says, and the one who's seated on the throne will shelter them. You know what it means to shelter? It means he will dwell with us. The Hebrew word, he will dwell with us. He will shelter us. "They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd." Amen. And we know the Lamb who's at the center of the church, of the throne, don't we? His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? "And he will guide them to the springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And that is the perfect union we await. We will receive when we go home to be with him. That is the perfect union. This is always my hope when I, as we look today, when we honor the dead who have passed, this is always my hope and what brings me peace when I have to bury someone who died in Christ, that I am sure that they die in Christ, that I'm not guessing or I'm wondering. I know I've watched them live. I've seen their lives. I've been around them, especially some of the saints from this church who the Lord has already called home. This scripture brings me hope that there are no more suffering or no more pain. The cancer, the dementia, whatever it might have been that attacked their body, does it no more. No more. No more, no more, no more. And for those of us who have our mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers who have gone home in Christ, we can rejoice in that. Oh, I said to my mother yesterday, you know, she's not here. But as I remembered and I was reading the text, I said, "Mama, it's all right. I know you're well, Mama. I know you're at the throne of God." Amen. But Jesus promises us that it's going to be all right when we get there. But he also wants us to live the way we ought to so that we get there. And this is what the Beatitudes tells us. I'm going to give you a new understanding, and I'm just going to paraphrase so I could get to the end, because we do have Holy Communion. The Beatitudes are giving us divine roadmap on how to get to heaven. It has given us a divine roadmap. The Bible tells us that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to a mountain. So in those crowds, in that crowd, there were many. There were poor and rich and in between. Right? They were all there in that crowds. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And people always wonder, why should it be the poor in spirit? But you know what the paraphrase says, my paraphrase that I have learned to understand. "Blessed are those who humbly recognize their need for God, for they will enter into the kingdom of God." When you're poor in spirit, it is blessed are those of us who know that we need God, right? That our spirit cannot give us anything, only the Spirit of God. We will enter. You see, the phrase poor in spirit speaks of a spiritual condition of poverty. You know, we could be spiritually poor, bankrupt, so to speak. No relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, no going to church, no reading the Bible, no praying, poor in spirit. Then it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And folks used to say to me, does Jesus want everybody to mourn? You know, yes, he's going to comfort those of us who with physical, who have experienced physical death, our loved ones. But the paraphrase is, blessed are those who mourn for their sins. When we mourn because we have done something wrong against God, right? They will receive forgiveness and eternal life. Giving you a new understanding, better, you know, that we should mourn when we sin against God. We should weep when we sin against God. And what should we do? We should ask for forgiveness and we will receive it. And we have the hope of eternal life. And then so then we get to the next one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. They will inherit the earth because God is not excited about our ego. Blessed are those who submit to God as Lord, for they will inherit everything God possesses. When we're meek and humbly before God, we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what it means when we're meek. Meek is not a bad word here. Meek is like poor, for those who submit to God's authority and make him Lord. And then he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. What does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added unto us. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Blessed are those who passionately long for Christ, for he will satisfy our soul. And then number 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Christian believers, we should be merciful. Blessed are those who show mercy, the paraphrase says, through forgiveness, kindness, and compassion, for they will receive mercy. We reap what we sow, so we should do unto others what we would like be done to us. Show mercy, kindness, compassion, empathy to others, and it will be shown to us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who have are purified inside, pure in heart, right? There are many people who act as if we're saints on the outside, but our heart is full of evil. You know that. The heart can be the seat of evil. But blessed are those who are pure in heart. Pure in heart, those who have cleansed themselves, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is telling us how we should live. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they will be called the children of God. Are we supposed to be peacemakers? Blessed are those who have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Because when we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we have peace. And then we should hope that we can help somebody be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And then number 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those when we are persecuted, when people talk about us because we love Jesus so much. Could we talk about Jesus? They can't understand how we make so much out of it, right? They don't want us to get excited. They think they should only get excited when they're watching the ball game. But we are getting excited for Jesus, right? Amen? We are getting excited for our Savior. Just as Jesus faced persecution, so will we. And then he says, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account, for my sake, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we're in good company, friends. When people are persecuting you, say terrible things about you, which is not true. Just understand, you're in good company, you're in company of Jesus. Amen? Amen? When you tell people about Jesus on your job, sometimes all you do, you have your Bible on your desk. Or you just have a cross on. And they want to ask you why you're wearing the cross or why you're talking about Jesus. And then they get mad at you. Remember. And then, friends, we can sing and rejoice as this song tells us. It says, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In his mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare a place. He prepared for us a place. And then the refrain says, when we all get to heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. I was going to play that until last night when I was doing it. It was too late. I said I should have given an answer to that song to end with. Oh, when we all get to heaven. Hallelujah. And our beloved who have gone home, all of them who have gone home from this church that we are going to honor today, and wherever they are who have died in Christ. Oh, when we all get to heaven. Can we just sing the refrain together? You can sing it, George. I'm sorry. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout for victory. One more time for the refrain. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout for victory. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We are going to sing and shout for victory. And I may just have Nancy change it at the end because she's got the book. And we may do it at the end. It's Nancy's number. I forgot the number now, but you'll find it. Because we don't have to look at the screen. We could just clap along and I'll throw the words. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because we want to rejoice in knowing Christ today. Amen.